And we turn to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. The Bible gives the Lord Jesus preeminence in all things. He is head over all things to the church. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And there are those commentators who seem not to be able to find any connection and believe that this is a standalone verse. It isn't, of course. But it can stand alone. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, I'll come to that in just a moment, but I want you to see the connection. Cast your eye back to verse 5. Let your conversation, that's the way you live, your whole lifestyle, let your conversation be without covetousness. Thou shalt not covet, of course. It's one of the things we must always obey, being one of the Ten Commandments. Be content with such things as ye have. Now again, that could be a nice standalone verse, but most of us would find it a little beyond our reach. We always want something else. The grass in the other field is always greener. We're not always content. We're sometimes very restless. But the Christian reason, be content with such things as ye had, for he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He is the one who makes us content. Having him, and the closer we have him, and the more we talk with him and abide in him, the more we shall be content with such things as we have. He is the ultimate contentment for the soul. Be content with such things as ye have. Because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a good bit of biblical reasoning here. This was actually said in the first instance to Joshua. And yet the apostle can take the scriptures, and we must be reminded for ourselves, the promises made to the folks of long ago still stand for the saints of today. All things that were written aforetime were written in order that they may be for our instruction. So the apostle is able to say, be content with such things as ye have, for he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that's part of the connection. Who is it who has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Why, it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday with Joshua, the same today for us, and the same for every generation that is coming and on into the glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. As a result of being content with such things as we have, as a result of knowing that he will never leave us nor forsake us, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. But it is the same Lord, the same Lord that helps Joshua, the same Lord who has helped every generation, and the same Lord who will help all the generations to come. so we may boldly say. Why is it a bold affirmation? Because we don't see the Lord Jesus. Because he went back to the glory all those 2,000 years ago. But we boldly trust, we boldly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We may say, seeing that he is with us, he is our helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Whether it be that we're to be martyred, whether it be that we're to be ridiculed, we do not fear because Jesus has been there before us. He's been through all these things for himself. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The same is the same. He doesn't alter. Though we don't see him like those disciples did in the days of his flesh, yet his spiritual power and his inward instruction of us is the same. And then the apostle moves on in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. The Saviour rules in his church. And any subordinate shepherds, any subordinate rulers, any ministers, they only rule by the word of God. If what they preach is not the word of God, or they preach things that the word of God doesn't say, they have no authority and they do not in fact rule. But he says, remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And we're getting very near now to the verse which says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Remember them, therefore, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, the end of their way of life. You can read this either way, probably as safe as anything to say, read it both ways. What is their faith that you are to follow? The faith of the leaders, the faith of those who teach the word of God. What is their faith? Well, it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if you prefer to think of it, not so much as whose faith follow, but as considering the end of their conversation. Now, end with us is quite a common word. It's a word of three letters. It can mean end, meaning the final conclusion. It can, of course, mean the end of something, the purpose that you're aiming at. They're the two basic meanings of the word end. But the Greek word here is fascinating. It's only used once or twice, three or four times in the whole language, and once in the Septuagint, and once here in the New Testament, but only three or four times in the whole Greek language. But it's made up of two very common words. But it's the thrust of it that's very fascinating. Whose faith follows, consider the end. Consider the exit. Consider your leaders and the end, the actual exit. Will they make a good death? Will they hold the faith to the end and go forth to meet the Saviour? There's something of that there. But the end of the conversation of any of us, of our leaders, the purpose of it, the destination of it, the conclusion of it, is the person of Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So it isn't a standalone verse, is really what I'm saying. And yet it may be spoken of as if it is. So Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one, Jesus the chosen one, he himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No Muslim, no Jehovah's Witness, no Hindu, no terrorist, no humanist. Nobody comes, but nobody comes to the Father except by the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that, and you've got one of the great keys of eternal life and salvation. Once you start saying, well, he will save everybody at some point, everybody will be saved, everybody will be in heaven, he's too kind, he's too loving to allow anybody to be lost. Once you begin to think like that, then you have no faith at all. But Jesus Christ, he it is who is the one who is the way to life. He is the one who has made atonement for our sin through his blood. His name is Jesus. He is the center of history. He achieved that which no one else could have done. He is the only Savior. Came from God and returned to God. He is not of man's invention. He was revealed from heaven, where he had been from eternity. So Jesus the Christ. Those who are saved are called Christians. They are Christ's men, Jesus' women, Christ's children. They're his. They're proud, in inverted commas, to be his. He is their hero. He is their conqueror. He goes forth conquering and to conquer. The Lord Jesus is the name which is above every name, the name that is to be on our lips. Of him we are pleased to talk. Jesus Christ. He it is who has the preeminence. The same yesterday and today and forever. Of course, in one sense, he is not the same. I like to think of John leaning on the bosom of the Saviour. A particular bond between him and the Saviour that is difficult to quantify. The Lord loves all his disciples. The Lord loves them all equally. And when we are loved, we must think that all the millions of other believers there's ever been are equally loved by him as we are. Yet for all that, there was a bond. A bond according to the perfect human nature of the Lord Jesus with John. But when John saw him no longer in this world of humiliation, but saw him in the glory, you remember, it wasn't a question of leaning on his breast, it was falling at his feet as dead. So glorious was this Saviour. And the Saviour lifted him up. In that sense, the Saviour is not the same. He once was here in the days of his flesh, and he was put to death upon a cross. But now he has taken that perfect body, fully God and fully man, back to the glory. He has all honour and all power, all authority, all glory. But it is the same Lord Jesus. One of the most glorious things is, it is the same Lord Jesus in his essence, in his being, having completed his purpose of salvation. So as long as we understand that the Lord Jesus is now glorified and is now on the right hand of the throne of the Father and not buffeted as he was here on earth, he is the same Saviour. He is the same who loves our souls. He is the same who is kind and forgives. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, showing that the Father is all these things. After all, the Father loved us from eternity to choose us in Christ. Why should we think it's only Jesus who loves and saves? But Jesus Christ, the same. The same Saviour who in our day has revealed himself to us. How do we know that we're elect? Because the Spirit points us to the Saviour. And in his sight makes us seem ourselves to be unclean and unworthy, not fit to be disciples. And the Spirit humbles us before the Saviour because of our sin. And though each one of us has different sins and different occasions of sins, yet the principle is the same. We all love him because he first loved us. He is the same. And the same to each one of us. The same yesterday. I wonder whether Paul was thinking initially in the spirit of his days in the flesh. Of all the wonderful things that Jesus did, going about doing good, healing the sick, teaching kind words, welcoming children, welcoming mothers, welcoming those who are cast out, welcoming the sick, the leper, touching the leper. The same Saviour as he was yesterday, as he was in those 33 years of ministry. But maybe in the spirit, the writer is thinking, what about the pre-incarnation forms of the Lord Jesus Christ? When he appeared to Joshua, when he appeared to Abraham, when he appeared to Jacob, when he appeared to others, Isaiah. But it's the same Saviour, the same one who's always loved the inhabited parts of the earth. The same one who's always loved his people from the time the Father gave them to him. Well, without any doubt, the Lord Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting and unchanging. And he's the same today. What others have found him, we have found him. He hasn't altered from one generation to the next. Generations change, countries and cultures change, but the Saviour still, spirit to spirit, speaks. The same unchanging Saviour. The love that you have towards him because of what he has done for you in your time, everybody else in their time has also known, given the different circumstances. And so the Lord Jesus is, in that sense, unchanging. He is the one who has authority in heaven and in earth. And his purpose has not changed, to save those whom the Father has given him. And he is in control. All things are upheld by his word. Today, as he was in generations gone by. We are at no disadvantage because we do not see him. He said to Thomas, Thomas, you have seen me and therefore you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We enter into that blessing. But it's the same Saviour. The same love, the same kindness, the same power, the same release. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday and today. And of course this binds believers together. It doesn't matter what century they lived in. When we get to the glory, it will be the same Lord Jesus that we praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him. Worthy is the Lamb, that we shall all cry, who was slain. He is the same forever. I'm intrigued that he didn't say, as in Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting. He uses the ordinary word for yesterday. Maybe from Psalm 90, as yesterday when it is past. But forever, our Saviour is not just for 33 years. not just the one who raises the dead and raises them for 1,000 years, 10,000 years. It is forever. As long as the everlasting Spirit of the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is alive, so long as God Himself is sustained, so long our Lord Jesus, our Saviour, our friend, remains all these things constantly. He is the same forever. Whatever is in store for the future, whatever worlds there will be, it's a wonderful thing to think that one day we'll be in the glory and we shall know as we are known. That all the sins will be unshackled. Our raised spirits in our bodies shall be perfected. Those who spent their life here blinded will see. Those who spent their lives tormented by mental problems will no longer have them. Their perfected bodies in Christ shall be forever and forever in Him. The Lord Jesus is the same as He ever was yesterday and today, and so He will be forever. Now, this is a tremendous anchor for our faith, a tremendous rock for our faith. We need not fear what men will do unto us. We're not bound to this world and to the few years of our earthly life. Our hearts are fixed with Christ in God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our hearts are fixed. We are His forever and forever, because He is forever, and we are in Him. This is a wonderful understanding of the gospel. I've often told you that when I was young, I thought it would be rather nice to live forever. Of course, when you're young, you do think a bit like that, especially if it's a nice day. And then I began to think, but what would it be like if I was like some of the elderly people, as I saw them when I was 15, 16? All the things I have wrong with me now. But what if I was like that? I wouldn't like to be like that forever and ever. I began to see that my concept of living forever was not quite right. But then I trusted the Lord sometime about that age. And I began to understand what being rooted in Christ meant. That my life is hid with Christ in God. That my fleeting life, that my unworthy life, that my life of no significance is fixed with Christ in God, that the things which are not shall bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh may glory in His presence through Christ. So there's purpose and meaning and stability and eternity. And it's what the soul craves for. We have a sufficient Saviour whose work on the cross was sufficient to deal with every case of every one of His people. But we have an eternal Saviour, and our hearts in Him are forever and forever secure. When someone we love is important, it would be very easy, I suppose, to take it for granted. I suppose the children of Pharaoh, who went and accompanied him around the Stratford Stadium, might well in years to come take it for granted. His dad, his only dad, never mind about whether he can run, never mind about whether... But correct thinking, perhaps the mature thinking in years to come, will be, we had a wonderful dad. All the things we have in our are half from him and half from mum. And those who have a gift of running will say, it came from dad. And there won't be that taking for granted attitude. There will be a deep, deep-seated reverence. Now that doesn't compare, of course. But we do have a Saviour. We didn't have. But we do have. We have the Lord Jesus. And He's our Saviour. He's my Saviour. His victories are my victories. All that He ever accomplished, I'm involved in because I belong to Him. We're solid with Him. We're identified with Him. He's not going to change because I change. One of the vagaries of human life is that we're constantly changing. We have mood swings. We wake up feeling one day totally different from what we felt the day before. But our Saviour does not change. And especially He does not change because we've changed. We tend to think if we're not very nice on a given day, the Saviour won't be nice to us. And while there may be some discipline, nevertheless, He doesn't change in His love towards us because we have a bad day, or a bad month, or a bad year, or backslide. Our security is not in ourselves, not in our brains, not in the work of our hands. Our security is in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is to be trusted. We must be sure that we are trusting Him. We have this one life, and there's the one Saviour. We need to be His, linked with Him, inextricably bound up with Him in the bundle of life. I trust that every one of us here knows those invisible ties that bind a soul to the Saviour. Amen.